Welcome to Northridge Church Podcast. Thank you for tuning in today. For more information, visit us online at northridgethomaston.com. Now prepare your hearts as we dive into God's Word.
Amen. You may be seated. Only Jesus could take something like blood and make it beautiful. It's the only thing that can wash away our sins. And yet, we talk to Christians around the globe in any place, no matter where they may be, you'll hear of their frustration and their difficulties. How many of you know that? Well, let's do this. How many of you are saved? You're washed in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. And some could not raise their hands, and that's quite all right. I'm glad you're here today. Maybe that can shift for you in this moment. But how many of you feel like, though, that maybe when you gave your life to Jesus, maybe life became a little more difficult? Can anybody testify to that? How about this? The closer you get to Christ, do you sometimes feel that the escalation of the enemy's attack increases? Here's a thought. I heard this weekend. It really was profound to me. What if that attack and that difficulty or whatever has entered into your life, what if that was already going to happen? What if it's not because you became a believer? And yet, really, it's God's sovereignty and His promise and His kindness and His grace that because you're saved, you're now able to deal with it in a different capacity. Just a perspective. And don't we, if we're not careful, don't we obsess over the things we don't know rather than anchor ourselves in the things that we do know? Don't we obsess over the difficulties of our life rather than looking at just how amazing we have it? I'm not suggesting that difficulty is not going to come into your life. In fact, I think we should be bold as preachers of the gospel to say, hey, when you give your life to Jesus, you better be ready for the attack, because now you're a threat to the enemy's devices and to his way and his kingdom. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I have the power and the capacity to overcome that. Colossians 2:9 says, it was in Christ that the Godhead dwelt bodily, that Jesus, in his capacity, he held all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then it goes on to say, and in him, we are full. You see, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, for those of us who raised our hand a moment ago and said, I'm a child of the King, I am a born again believer. Every single one of you sitting here, when I say that, you know that there's difficulties in your life. But isn't it amazing that you have a greater capacity to face those things? The fear, it doesn't have to drive you if you know who you are in Christ. He says, I've given you the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. But I think we're also sometimes do a detriment when we make people think that coming to church and being in Christ and serving him in some capacity, that it somehow is not going to be tough. In fact, can I be bold and say it might be the toughest thing you'll ever do in this life? We read in the New Testament where the disciples, each one of them suffered in so many ways. Historically speaking, we read that externally that every one of the disciples, less John, died a martyr's death. At the end of John's gospel, when Jesus is dialoguing with Peter, Peter, do you love me? Of course I love you. Do you love me, Peter? You know the dialogue three times. But then after that, he said, Peter, you've pretty much lived your life going in the places you want to go. But at the end of your life, you're going to go where you don't want to go, and arms stretched wide. He basically prophesies about his impending crucifixion. He's basically saying, Peter, you denied me before I went to the cross. But this time around, you're going to die for me. And he was willing to do so. If that alone is evidence of the resurrection. But what about for those of us who have to deal with life's difficulties without the Holy Spirit living in us? Man, I don't know how you do that. But many of us do. Many of us don't know that there's this point of reference with the Holy Spirit where Jesus said, I must go away. I must leave. During his earthly ministry, he dialogued with his disciples. He told them the temple would be destroyed in 3 days. He would rebuild it, talking about himself. They missed that. He told them in another place, he said, I must go away. I must leave you. And if I leave you, I'm going to send another one in my place. That word is paraclete. It means another of the same kind. And he will be the Holy Spirit, and he should be called the Comforter. Which begs the question, why do we need a Comforter in the person of the Holy Spirit indwelling us if it's not implied that our life is going to be very uncomfortable? But he's there for us, never to leave us nor forsake us. It's the beauty of the blood. But maybe there's somebody here today that maybe you've been in church. Maybe you were raised in church. Maybe you've gone through all the motions. Maybe you've joined churches. You've been baptized. Maybe as an infant you were christened into a church. Can I tell you, none of that saves you. None of that makes you right with Jesus. And I don't say that to shame anyone. I say that because I think we need to be bold in our faith. In fact, Deborah, just 3 weeks ago, I stood before you and I was talking to somebody after church and kind of the question was, did you have to do that? I didn't, but it was a conviction of mine. I was listening to a Christian comedian poke fun at how invitations are given in a local church. And it was kind of like this, and he's joking and he's paradising this moment. Everybody bow your head, every head bowed and every eye closed. And if you want to receive Jesus, pray this prayer. If you did that, then no one looking around but me. And he's saying exactly what I've said for 20 plus years. And then he says, and if you accepted Jesus, raise your hand. And I see that hand and I see that hand. Hands are all over the room, he said. And I was laughing. And then it hit me and I got convicted. I said, if he can make that incredibly cliche and make a parody out of it, there's something wrong. And man, I came under conviction and I didn't have to. I wanted to tell you as a church and I asked for your forgiveness and I, of course, asked for the Lord. And I'm not suggesting that over the years, I mean, I prayed a prayer simply like that and I raised my hand and he really saved me. So I'm not suggesting that people didn't get saved and won't get saved that way. Here's what I'm suggesting. If we can't be bold enough to stand to our feet in a room where people will celebrate you with everyone looking up, what makes us think that we're going to go out there and live a bold faith where people are going to condemn you and people are going to shame you and people are going to criticize you? If we're a believer that there's a truth by way of foundation, and he says, a wise man builds his house upon a rock. But a foolish man builds his house on sand, and when the storm comes, it washes it away. I don't know about you, but I want to anchor myself to the rock of our salvation. I want to be bold in my faith. Listen, Jesus made this statement. It's, we can't just butter over this text. He says, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. And what does that really mean? It really means that. It's kind of like the text that says, if you don't forgive your brother who's trespassed against you, how can your Father in heaven forgive you? And it goes back to the posture of our heart. Paul said, I am unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power unto salvation to those who believed. I don't know about you, but I just feel like the best way we can equip us, you guys, us, is to say, hey, let's stand and be bold for our faith. Let's not pray with our head down, our eyes closed. Let's not secretly and sheepishly lift our hand and, oh gosh, pray no one sees it. I want to tell you something. You got to stand and you got to risk the shame. You got to risk what the guy next to you is going to say, what the lady behind you. But here's the thing. Maybe when you're sitting there thinking, I would get saved, but my wife is going to think I'm an idiot. No, your wife's been praying for you. She and your children are going to think, that's my hero. That's an amazing man of God who wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Maybe your friend on the back row who you think is going to mock you at work because you've been in church, but now you just gave your life to Jesus and you think that's going to look one way. Maybe he's sitting back there saying, man, if he gets up, I'm going to get up. See, that's how we provoke and we incite, if you will, and stir up one another unto good works, is boldness of our faith. Do you know in the book of Acts in the upper room when Jesus appeared, it's like they were praying not for a cessation to persecution. They were praying for boldness to be able to endure it. so it brings me to this point. Do you know Jesus is the Lord of your life? Do you know Him personally and intimately? And are you known of Him? Do you hear His voice? Do you want to be in His Word? Do you want to pray? Do you want to be in church? Those are byproducts of a heart that's been won by Christ. If you can go on and do life without any conviction in your heart, there's a really good chance you're not saved. And that's just as honest as I know how to be to you.
Thank you for joining us today at Northridge Church. We hope today's message inspired you in your walk with God. We hope you take your next step by connecting with us online at northridgethomaston.com.